Thing to sell. Hey. All right. So we have, let me see if I can pronounce this right, Oyane Kamara for the next talk. She's a student from this university, and she's going to talk about Marvel. And I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Thank you very much.
So what's the clap?
Well, as he said, my name is Oyane Kamara, and I may not look like one, but I'm a computer scientist and a researcher at the University of Deusto. That is the building that's across the bridge. More specifically, I work at Deusto Tech. Deusto Tech is the Deusto Institute of Technology, and it's a research institute associated with the Deusto Foundation and the Faculty of Engineering, and its mission is to do basic and applied research and help companies by promoting the training in excellence and education. Well, as you can see, Deusto Tech is comprised of several areas depending on the focus of the research. More specifically, I work in Deusto Tech Energy, where we do research regarding power networks and the use of infrastructures, smart grids, environmental and clean technologies, and the electric car. So I've come here to the academy to explain to you, to show you how we have integrated one of the KDA tools, Marvel, in our projects, in the projects we have developed in the laboratory. This will be the guideline of the presentation. First, we'll have a brief overview about the evolution of HIS over time and its integration with different scopes. Then I'll show you the two projects we've been working in the lab, we've integrated with Marvel. And finally, I'll give some suggestions to the KDA community about the problems and what we would like to see in Marvel. And finally, at the end of the presentation, we'll have a time for questions and answers, so you can give your opinion or ask anything about the presentation. Well, so he's in the last two decades, he's has been going on a big start. First, only universities and several laboratories do geospatial analysis, but now a lot of disciplines use his GIS as a support to what they do. What happens nowadays is that we have a lot of information in databases that include coordinates or geospatial information, but we need some kind of visualizing tool so we can understand better that information. And GIS not only provides those tools to analyze and manage data, but also to have a better understanding of the data we are going to use. Well, I suppose all of you know what GIS is, but if there's anyone that has doubts, GIS stands for Geographic Information System, a system that is designed to capture, analyze, and manipulate geospatial data. So we'll have a brief travel back in time to see how GIS has evolved over the years. The first information we have about data analysis dates from the 19th century, half of the 19th century, where geographers used they used some kind of analysis to paint the zones in gradient colors to detect the number of deaths by cholera in France. In 1950, with the development of photosyncography, that's a photography process that allowed the maps to be split into layers. And though they were only images, we know that GIS nowadays relies on layers to represent information. In 1960, the first GIS software was developed, the Canadian GIS Information System, that captured and analyzed data of the Canadian wildlife and water and land use. Then the Harvard Laboratory developed several geospatial techniques that were that would later be used in several geographic information systems. In 1980 marked the time where the GIS passed from the research scope to the business scope when they discovered that they could use keys to manage all kinds of problems. In 1986, the first desktop keys was developed for Windows, and it marked the time when it became commercially available. Then in 2001, the first keys over the internet started to appear because there were a lot of people that wanted to have access to it. And now there are a lot of open source tools that allow us to integrate keys in our applications. And that is where we come to Marble. Marble is a KDE tool that offers a set of services and a set of features so that we can load geographic geospatial information and visualize it better and do a lot of processes. So in our projects, we have integrated Marble into special projects. One is the overhead line inspection system, and the other is the agent-based spatial load forecasting that now I'm going to explain. Well, the first project, the overall power line inspection system, relies on the problem that if we want the electrical infrastructures to keep giving electrical power of quality, we have to have some kind of inspection over them. So the surveillance and maintenance of electrical infrastructures is a key to ensuring improving the quality of service. In Spain, the electrical utilities are obliged to inspect their system every three years. That means that every 3 years we have more than 50,000 reports over 100,000 kilometers of overhead power lines. Nowadays, this inspection is done manually, that is, or by car or by a tripulated helicopter. The problem is that it takes a lot of time, and there have been several deaths regarding the inspection of electric power lines by helicopters. So we propose here the use of an automatic overhead power line inspection system by an unmanned aerial vehicle. That is, if you can see in the image, a little helicopter with a camera integrated on it that goes along the path of the power lines and has, through the camera, they inspect how the power line is. So, how we have used GIS to solve this problem? Well, we have a topographic database, the GeoSCADI, that give us information about the obstacles and the, where the obstacles are and what type of obstacles are. Not only that, but also information about what are the minimum distance necessary to trees, to urbanizations, and all kinds of infrastructures. So, what we have done here is we have extracted data from that database using PostGIS as a PostgreSQL database with PostGIS module to get all that information, and we have integrated it with Marble as a tool for visualizing all these obstacles and all this data that we want to inspect. We have used Qt Creator as the ID, and the programming language has been C++. What we do is we take the information from the database and we construct a KML file that we later load into Marble so we can visualize all the data that we have obtained from the database. I don't know if you can see in the back, but here's an example of how we have constructed the code. One of the things we like about Marble is that it's very, very easy to integrate. For example, here in this file, we only had to include the headings and made the pertinent call to the function that would construct the widget and then load the KML that we have built previously. On your right, on the right of the slide, you can see an example of a KML file we have generated by querying the database for the geospatial information. And you can see here a description of the program, of the application. We have here the Marble widget, and we have, these are the different layers we have grouped and obtained from the database. So what we do here is the user can load as he wants the layer of obstacles that appear on the on the map based on what we have queried to the system. Well, the other project where we have used MARBL is the agent-based spatial load forecasting. It's a long title, but it's not so fancy. It's easier than it sounds. The problem is that the fast-paced technological and social development makes us very dependent of energy. So the electrical grid needs to be resized accordingly so it can support all the electric demand that's going to take place in the future. If the electric grid is not resized, there could be brownouts, blackouts, and low quality supply of energy. So what we want to know is how a city is going to grow in terms of energy demand. How many new clients are there going to be? How many new buildings are going to be built? So we can't manage better how the electrical infrastructure is going to grow. So for that, we used an application that forecasts the apparition of new clients, of new entities that are going to demand power. So what we do here is we take information from the national cadastre. We use a tool that's named CAT2SM that transfers the information in the cadastre to a format compliant with what is going to be stored in the database. Then, when the data is stored in the database through the PostGIS module, we ask for information and integrate on a Python flat platform that's called SPADE. SPADE is a multi-agent system platform. You can think of an agent like an individual. An agent has like a human person. It has its own preferences. It observes the environment and it takes decision according to what it observes in the environment. So it's some kind, like you could say, an intelligent entity. So we provide these entities with information we gather from the database, and these entities, each one with their own preferences, like for example, if there's going to be a new building that's going to be residential, maybe the people that's going to be living there want to live in a place that has schools nearby or shops or libraries. So we make each of these preferences, each agent has its own type of information. We give them a local overview of the area we're going to work with, and then the agent decide where they are going to place or where they want to be constructed, where they want to be connected to the power network. And that is how we forecast the apparition of new clients. We take preferences, and based on the local information about the place, we locate them. So in this project, we have used, like before, the database was PostgreSQL with a PostGIS module, the ID was PyCharm, an ID for Python, and we use the MARBL widget to load all the information from the database regarding the buildings that appear in a certain city, the location of the transformer and substation, and the green fields, that is the lands that are free for, that are available for constructing new buildings. So this is an example of how we have integrated MARBL with Python. As before, it's very easy to use. We only have to import the libraries. And the MARBL widget has its own method that draws what you tell it to draw. In this case, we draw the polygons, that is the buildings available from the database. We create the MARBL widget. We center it on the certain location we want to explore, and then the MARBL widget does all the work. The good thing about this is that MARBL widget is a powerful tool for drawing and located several were like 10,000 clients. So MARBL really takes those little time in capturing all the information and locating it on the map. So this would be the screenshot of the application. So now comes the suggestions to the KDE community. When working with Marble, we found it a little difficult at first because we think it a lack of bit of documentation. I am a developer and I know how we hate to write documentation, and it's something we do in our free time and we want to end it quickly. But I think that Marble documentation, it's made from a developer to a developer. So if someone who wants to try Marble for the first time, maybe they would have a little problem if understanding how can they begin and to have like a complete structure of what they can do with Marble. I think as well that the documentation needs to be a little more organized because we don't realize how powerful Marble is and what services it has to offer to us. And another suggestion based on the projects we have developed is we would like the Python bindings of Marble to be updated, because I think the last commit to the Python bindings is about 2010 or around that time. Why Python? Because Python is emerging like a language that's very powerful and can provide a lot of quick processes to scientific research. So I think that if we integrate this language with Marble, that's a tool that also attends the needs to visualize all the information that we have in geospatial databases. I think that the combination of both will attract all those people from the Python community and use Marble in their projects. So as a conclusion, it's easy to see that Marble provides very easy integration with several technologies. It's also a powerful tool to support geodatabases and has several services available, like routing and satellite tracking. And most important for everything, the thing that sums up the presentation is that it provides added value to engineering projects because it's a powerful tool that lets us visualize and understand all the information we have in those geospatial databases that may be difficult to process at first, but with a tool like this, we can visualize and understand the data better. So that would be the end of the presentation. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
So do we have any questions? Come on. Okay, apparently not.
Okay.
So how is your experience with the bindings in general? Are they really that bad as you're saying? Because we historically only care about C++. And as such, bindings are something that someone else does in the KDE community.
Yes.
Specifically one person, who's slightly inactive lately. But yeah, so is it really that bad? Or?
Well, for example, in the first project, the one with the overhead power lines, we couldn't load the data from the database directly into Marble because we had to load the data, then make the KML file ourselves and then load the KML files to Marble. So it would be interesting to just, we wouldn't have to load the KML file to have Marble understand directly what the information we take from the database. So the problem was that we couldn't find a way to do it directly because the bindings were not ready. And in case of Python, the problem is that when I developed the project, for example, I wanted to do a place mark on a certain city and put a banner around it saying what it was. I couldn't because it was not implemented. And it's a basic thing. So I think for Python bindings especially are a little outdated. And I think Marble has evolved so much that it's a pity that we cannot benefit from the use of it, the people that are from the Python community. I think it would be very constructive.
Yeah, great.
Maybe we have to explain at this point that so far the Python bindings that we offer We haven't been aware that anybody has used those. So these get auto-generated, and every now and then somebody asks about those, but we never really get feedback about people actually using those Python bindings. So it's rather a very positive surprise that something this sophisticated actually got created using Python bindings. Or do you want to add something, Dennis?
Yeah, maybe for the auto generation, that's not correctly true. There's still some handcrafting involved, which is just by a person. So the Python bindings are actually updated for the releases, but they are not updated during the development. Okay. And I think what you're probably missing is including new API into them. So maybe you can help us help you and give us some pointers which is actually missing, because we are just not aware of it. And then we can forward it to the maintainer who does the updates for the releases. And I think he might be able to update them and include new stuff as well.
Okay, of course.
Well, in general, of course, we'd love to provide more bindings, and especially, of course, Python bindings for Marble. So we have an interest there. But since we, as the core developers who are mostly working in the C++ world, don't have any way to really test those extensively, we basically rely on the people who make actual use of the Python bindings to, well, give us feedback and also help with keeping them working.
And we love to get patches, of course.
Thank you for your talk. It was amazing. We're going to go out for coffee, and we have to be back here in about 20 minutes. Or what's the time?